Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, we'll read verse 18 through 24. "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.' Then answered Simon and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me.'" Heavenly Father, help us today. Lord, in everything that I do, I pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified. When I sing, when I preach, when I pray, when I speak to someone, I want them to see Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would put that mind and that heart and that desire and that purpose in everyone's heart that's listening to me. I'm glad that you chose to use me, but God, use my listeners as well, and help them to exemplify Christ, and empower them and encourage them that they would tell others of the things that they have received. And Lord, I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we'll finish up chapter 8 of the book of Acts. This is our short overview. I guess it's part 5. But in the larger study, this is part 59 of our study on John the Baptist. And we're following the key text of the book of Acts, which is chapter 1, verse 8, that we would receive power, the Lord said, to be witnesses of Jesus first in Jerusalem, and then all of the surrounding Judea, and then Samaria, which is here in chapter 8, what have you, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. In chapter 2, there was the great outpouring of the Spirit, and everyone there that was filled, they spoke in tongues. We don't know for sure if they spoke in tongues here in Samaria. It's likely that they did, but it doesn't say. And it doesn't have to say. It's probable that that happened. But tongues is not the issue. Tongues is never the point. when they were filled on the day of Pentecost, on the fulfillment of that great feast, the point was that all the Jews that had come in from all the dispersed countries, if they lived in Egypt, well, they spoke Egyptian. If they lived in Crete, they spoke whatever the Cretans spoke or whatever. But they were Jews, they all spoke Hebrew, whatever. But they were there for the festival. And when the Spirit fell from heaven, the apostles, the 120, however many it was, they were empowered to speak in the languages of the sojourning Jews. They spoke Cretan, whatever it was, or Egyptian, or whatever it was, and it does list them, the different languages. And when the festival was over, they journeyed back home, and they told in their countries, "Hey, we heard a story." And they began to relate the gospel when they got home to their families, to their friends, what have you. So the gospel propagated. That's what tongues is about. That's what tongues is about. It's a sign of the propagation of the gospel to the entire world, or to the uttermost parts of the earth, as Acts 1:8 says. But tongues, in and of itself, it doesn't matter. And thus, when the Samaritans were filled, and it does say that they were filled, and Simon, he wanted whatever that power was that he didn't understand, he wanted to buy whatever that power was so that he could lay hands on people and they would be filled with the Spirit. But we've talked in recent weeks, I suppose, about what all of that means. When we started our little subtopic, we stressed that the promise of the Father, yes, it's about power to win the lost, but first, it was the indwelling of the Spirit, where God comes to live in the heart of those that are born again. And it's not a mental thing, and it's not a religious thing, and we talk about it, and we tell each other, "Hey, we got the Spirit," or we've... No, it's none of that. God from heaven comes to live in our souls. God from heaven performs a miracle, does something that is absolutely unnatural. God comes to live in our souls when we are born again. So it's not about tongues. It's about the indwelling of the Spirit and the changed life. And if Simon had focused on tongues, he would have asked, "Hey, give me money that they would speak in tongues when I pray for them." No, it was something far, far greater than that. Again, God from heaven coming to dwell in our hearts. That was the focus. That was the focus. There's a passage in John. I don't have the chapter. I didn't write it down. But it says that when he had said this, he breathed on them, the disciples, and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them." Or in other words, whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. I do not believe that the church has any power whatsoever to forgive sins. God forgives sins. But we are his ambassadors, Paul said. And when an ambassador goes to, I don't know, pick a country, Honduras, he speaks on behalf of the president, the Department of State, and he speaks on behalf of America. And he has power to pick up his pen and sign things and what have you and make agreements. He has the authority, let's forget Honduras, let's say Iran. He has the authority to say, hey, if you do that one more time, we're going to attack. He speaks on behalf of the one that sent him. We are his ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. Jesus was here 3.5 years, however long it was, preaching, teaching, what have you. But then he went to the cross, and then he rose again, and then he went to heaven. But he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And you receive the promise that John talked about. You'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence, he said. But we act and do and preach and represent and intercede and you name it on behalf of God. And it's interesting to note that when Philip, again, whichever Philip it was, it might have been the Apostle Philip, it might have been the Deacon Philip, it doesn't really say. But he went to Samaria, he preached the gospel, the people believed, and in fact the people also got baptized, but they were not indwelt with the Spirit, they were not filled with the Spirit until Peter and whoever was with him came. And they, the apostles from Jerusalem, put their stamp of approval on the work that was being done and on the fact that Samaritans had received the gospel. And again, this is according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But the Spirit waited until Peter and John or whoever it was showed up and said, yep, this is legit. And then they laid hands on all of them, and they all were filled with the Spirit. Again, God respects his ambassadors. We do the work on his behalf. Remember, I guess it was Acts chapter 3. But Peter and John, they were on their way to the temple, and this guy, he started saying, hey man, I hadn't eaten in 2 days. How about you throw me a dollar or something? He was asking for alms. And you know the story, I suppose. They said, silver and gold, huh, we ain't got. But I do got something. I do have something. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he, lame from his birth or whatever it was, couldn't walk. He sprang up, and it says he started walking and leaping and praising God and went on into the temple. Hey, look on us. We got something, and oh, by the way, rise up and walk. And when the multitude heard of it and the authorities heard of it, they said, hey, what are y'all doing? Healing people in the middle of the street or whatever. And Peter said, hey, why are you looking at us? We didn't do it. Jesus Christ did it. In the name of Jesus Christ, this man rose and walked. Again, we're his ambassadors. We don't have anything but what God gives us, the authority, the power that God gives us, but we don't possess anything ourselves. In John chapter 15, it says that, hey, disciples, without me, you can do nothing. Again, because we don't have anything, no power or godliness or holiness in us, but it's God and our power and authority and ambassadorship is from heaven. And, as I said, the Spirit waited until the apostles arrived before he filled the new believers at Samaria. Jesus was here for however long it was, and the buck stopped with him. You had a problem, you go to him. You couldn't walk, or your daughter was dead, or whatever the case, you went to him and said, Lord, will you do? And he did. It's not recorded anywhere in the Gospels that those that came with a right heart and said, Lord, will you do thus and so? It's not recorded that he said, no, I can't or I won't. Again, the buck stopped with him. But he went to heaven. We're his ambassadors. We were not apostles, but we carry on that apostolic ministry with his power in his stead. Again, I'm stressing this because that's what the text says. But we need to be about the Father's business of winning souls, making disciples, putting people's lives and marriages and families back together, what have you. He sent us to do his work. But it says in verse 25 here of chapter 8 of Acts, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. I want to finish this chapter, chapter 8, but honestly, I don't have time to do it justice. It says in verse 26 and 27 that the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, hey, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the gospel of Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, hey, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Or, hey, Philip, go flag that guy down and hitch a ride, because he's reading the scrolls and he's got Isaiah chapter 53. And honestly, I'm out of time, but next week we'll pick it up here and we'll read the story of the Ethiopian eunuch.
Standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble. When the winds of this world is blowing strong.
Say it again.
Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He is standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble. When the winds of this world is blowing strong.
There's a fence around his children. His grace is sufficient to stand the storm. His word is a promise we can stand on. When the wind of this world is blowing strong. Help me say it now.
Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble. The winds of this world are blowing strong.
Old Satan is moving to and fro throughout the land, seeking whom he may devour. But he was defeated at Golgotha, that day when Jesus made him out alive. Let me tell you now,
Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. Hold my hand when I begin to tremble.
hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble. When the winds of this world are blowing strong.
Church, if you are caught out in the winds of this world with no joy in your life at all, just give your heart to Jesus. He'll always understand that he will never, never let you fall. Oh, yeah.
Jesus is with me when the storm clouds are gathered. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble. When the winds of this world are blowing strong. Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Yes, he is.
Jesus
is
with me.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
In the morning.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
In the evening.
Jesus is with me.
All night long.
Jesus is with me.
All night long.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus,
Jesus with me.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Jesus with me.
Shall not want.
Jesus with me.
He maketh me.
Jesus with me.
To lie down in green pastures.
Jesus with me.
He leadeth me.
Jesus with me.
Beside the still waters.
Jesus with me.
He restored my
Jesus
soul.
Jesus with me.
He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. For the name's sake.
Jesus with me.
Do you know Jesus?
Jesus with me.
Do you know Jesus?
Jesus with me.
Do you know Jesus?
Jesus with me.
If you know Jesus.
Been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.